Hi, this is Tony Skirsky, the broker at Transaction Realty. As always, we have Andrew Ferris with us, our technical engineer, and as our guest today, we have Jonathan Brandt. He's a registered sanitarian in the state of Ohio. He also has a master's in occupational safety. He's a local consultant for a company, and he used to work for the city of Cleveland in their lead program. Welcome, Jonathan. How you doing?
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me here.
Well, here's a little fact that probably no one knows, is we actually used to work together as health inspectors for the city of Cleveland. So that was a while ago, right, Jonathan?
That was a fun time in the basement of McCafferty, yep.
There you go. Well, it's kind of crazy because now as a broker, some of the things that we looked at as health inspectors, I see that really nothing's changed. The lead-based paint was banned in 1978. I remember we were writing up water fountains in schools that had lead coils, I believe. And I saw in the newspaper they're still trying to get rid of those things in the school. So lead is in our environment, but even more important, it's in our homes, and it's with lead-based paint. So homes prior to 1978, do you still see a lot of lead paint in older homes?
Tony, it's everywhere, especially in an industrial city such as Cleveland. And a little known fact, Cleveland was the center of finance in the United States from the Civil War until the First World War. So a lot of industry was here. A lot of houses were built after the Second World War or after the First World War. And that involved a lot of lead paint.
And where those homes, was that lead paint put in just poor areas or homes that didn't cost much, or where was this lead-based paint put?
On the contrary, lead paint was very expensive back in those days. It was only used in certain areas of the house that were subjected to weather. But in the mansions, it was used a lot more. So the larger the houses had a lot more lead paint in areas such as the parlor rooms, living rooms, before electric lights, because they built the houses, if you've ever been in a house like in Glenville, there's 40-some-odd windows in those houses, and that was to allow light to come in, but the lead paint on the walls had a great sheen that broadcasted the light throughout the room. So in those older houses, you have a lot more lead paint, and they're not mansions anymore. You know, they're apartments and housing for families
that have children and people are that want to create a family and make a nice environment for them, but so we're kind of subjecting people to an environment that's not too healthy for them.
I would say that would be an understatement at the present time. Cleveland still ranks as one of the highest areas of childhood lead poisoning in the United States. So the problem's not going away. It's not getting mitigated in any way. It's actually getting worse in some ways.
So what do you think is going to be, what can we do? What can we do as a society to stop this lead poisoning, stop poisoning our children? What do we need to do?
Well, Tony, there's a lot of federal regulations out there, and those federal regulations apply to certain areas. Local regulations are there as well. Building and housing have regulations on keeping stable paint on the exterior of a house. But there's nothing really established as a manner to correct a problem. It's just maintenance of old ordinances and codes that really weren't designed on a health level.
So what you're kind of telling me is we're just reacting to the poison. Like once a child is found out they're poisoned, or if there's a building code violation, then we'll take care of it, but we're not proactively stopping this. Is that what I hear?
That's absolutely correct.
So as a realtor, I know that buyers have a choice to actually do a lead assessment or a lead inspection. And from my experience is that that isn't done much. And I think a lot of times sellers are afraid to take an offer that has a lead assessment requested on the contract, and buyers feel like, oh well, I'm not going to get my offer accepted if I ask for this inspection. Do you Do you know like a workaround that we could do with that, that we can actually make this happen on all transactions?
Well, that's been a matter of conjecture for quite a while. The city of Cleveland has ordinances on the book for rental properties, to have rental properties registered and inspected. That is a voluntary program that hasn't worked very well.
I think I saw that in the newspaper just recently. I think they had zero people sign up for that voluntary program.
Yes,
so I guess that didn't work very well.
Actively involved in the legislation for that back in the day. It's a good program, good idea, but it lacks any enforcement. And really, we have to look at this from the viewpoint of lead is scary, okay? Because we've made so much noise about it that there are all sorts of thoughts on it and not a lot of real fact. Yes, lead is scary. It poisons kids. There's no doubt about it. In the city of Cleveland, there are thousands of kids poisoned every year by lead-based paint. But there is, you asked about a way around it. Well, we have to work together on this. We have to make it less scary. And the way that I would see this happening is that when real estate transfers would be the best avenue. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think that's a great way of doing it, because a lot of people, especially now when the market is a little stronger, there's multiple bids. Someone that would probably actually go for an assessment now in this market won't go for it, because if they're going against three other offers, they might feel that asking for a lead inspection would work against them. So they'll opt out of it and still move forward on a transaction. So I think if it was mandatory, that would be a level playing field for anyone that wants to buy that house. It would then become more of a price and terms, not if they're doing a lead inspection or not.
I would have to agree with that, and your point is well taken. There is a lot of fear, especially now that the market has changed and there's a lot of competition for housing. However, that puts a family in a very precarious position. You know, when you buy your first home, you really don't know a whole lot about houses. Okay, when I bought my house 30 years ago, I knew nothing.
Absolutely. I was right there with you.
And I learned a lot over the 30 years. But when you buy a house, you want your real estate person to assist you in getting that house. And the issue of lead is, again, a very scary thing. If you think that you're going to get outbid because of a lead inspection, well, you're less inclined to do that. Am I correct in that?
Oh, I agree with you 100% on that. We got to take away from people not going for these inspections. You know, any.
Now let me just take a minute here and define what's scary. What's scary is misinformation. What the real fact of the matter is that whatever the lead assessment shows or the lead risk assessment shows, there are simple ways to manage that risk. It is not a $30,000 replace everything kind of deal.
So, Jonathan, they don't have to abate. They don't have to get rid of all the. They don't have to abate all the lead, do they?
No, abatement is a 20-year fix. That's what the feds call abatement. It's a 20-year fix. It's really not abatement in getting rid of all of the lead. It's just a 20-year fix. In other words, you enclose it, you replace items, you cover it. It has to last 20 years. Now let's take a typical house. Got a Victorian house in the city of Cleveland. It's in a very good area. It's commanding a high price. Probably a decent piece of property goes with it. You want that house. Okay, but you have little kids. Maybe you have three little kids under the age of six. And you're just now hearing about this lead issue, and you want to make this transaction safe for your kids. If you have to forego your need to have a lead inspection done on that house just to get the house, that is a major problem, and it's a major problem in this market.
You're putting your family at jeopardy just to get
a house. Absolutely. And if you're a new homeowner that has no experience in renovating, you could really seriously injure your family by doing it incorrectly. My thoughts on this is if you had to have a lead inspection during the, you know, transfer of property, and then you deal with who's going to pay for what, that would be the way to at least protect this new group of homeowners that are coming into the market.
So let me ask you, I heard you say inspection. So on our forms, they have an opportunity to do an inspection or a lead hazard assessment. So what are you saying that they should be doing there?
According to the regulations, federal regulations, there are two ways in which a house can be inspected for lead. One is a paint inspection, which requires a licensed individual to do an extensive inspection of the house using instruments that measure the lead. There's also something that's called a risk assessment, in which a licensed individual goes through the house and determines if there are any hazards based on the condition of the paint, and then tests that paint to determine whether there is actually lead-based paint in it. Both of them can command high prices, but the reasonable price one is a risk assessment, and if you have referrals to a, you know, somebody who is knowledgeable and is not going to rip you off type thing, then that would be the direction that you want to go.
Well, that sounds great. So what they're doing there in that inspection is just they're actually seeing what areas actually need work. So they're not like looking at every area that has lead paint on it. As long as it's intact and in good shape, they're not really addressing those areas. They're just addressing like peeling paint and lead dust through the house.
That is correct. HUD requires a risk assessment, what they call a paint assessment, on houses that are federally funded. Okay, so it has to be done on a federal loan, if you're getting a federal loan to buy the house. And essentially, a risk assessor is going to, as you say, look at the condition of the paint, test the paint. Now, that's an advantage because it's a lower cost. It doesn't necessarily tell you where the lead-based paint is in the entire property.
Throughout the whole house. Okay.
However, if it's in good shape, you don't need necessarily to know that that is lead-based paint. It's only when you start renovating or doing extensive modification of a home that you want to get additional information.
That sounds like sound advice. So, there's a lot of legislation that's being talked about in the city of Cleveland and throughout Ohio. And one of the things that I've heard is that they're trying to make it mandatory to do these lead assessments for rentals in Cleveland and also daycares and schools. They did talk about owners, owner-occupants homes also, but they've kind of backed off from that. But do you think it'd be a good idea if it was mandatory if they also did the transactions?
I think it's a very good idea to do the transactions. Now, let's take a step back here and look at what you just said here. We're looking at legislation that's sort of the hand grenade approach. You know, you throw a hand grenade, it goes off, gets everybody involved. Okay, well, what really we have to look at is the constitutionality of some of this stuff, okay? If you're already a homeowner, you own your home, you have a relationship with your bank, you're paying your bills, there really isn't any way to legislate having you need to be mandatory to have that done. Rental properties, I think that's I hate to use it, but a no-brainer. It needs to be done on rental properties. Whether there is...
Just like you'd have to supply like a safe electrical system if you're renting it out to someone, I would think that's the same thing. It's a safe environment that if you're renting it out to a family, I think it should be mandatory.
Absolutely, and it is. That. Under city code, it is mandatory to have a stable paint film. That's how the code is written, to have a stable exterior paint film.
This is just taking it one step more and actually doing like dust samples and making right. sure that the house isn't contaminated.
Now, the Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is a federal program, requires this to be done on an annual basis, to have an inspection done by a certified individual and to have that testing done. So the federal portion of that rental housing picture is already in place, and it provides a reasonably good model to move forward. It, in my opinion, should be done. It should be legislated. However, there is also the issue of, in an urban area, do we really know where the rental properties are? Do we know who owns them, and do we know who's renting them? This becomes another issue that we have to first solve before we get into that.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about that, though, Jonathan, but I think with the computers now, I maybe they could figure out, like, if the addresses are different, the owner compared to actually who's the resident at there, they can maybe start there. But I think we have to start somewhere, you know, to actually stop this lead poisoning happening to our children. So what you're saying is that it's not scary. This is something that could be done with not too much expense, and you don't need a lead abatement company really to come out. Is that what you're saying? If you have violations, what kind of contractor could you use to take care of these problems?
Okay, now we're getting into an area that's enforcement. Okay, at the real estate sale level, it would be easy to take care of because only those issues that are a problem would be taken care of. Now, when you get government involved and you have a citation on a property, it's a whole nother animal. Okay, now you're talking about federal regulations about abatement.
Right, right. But I mean, for just like a regular, like a transaction, someone selling their home, can they use a contractor, any contractor in the state of Ohio, or what's the requirements?
Okay, well, let's say that there are some lead issues that are known in this particular property. Under federal regulation, you need a lead-safe renovator to do that work. You don't necessarily need a lead abatement contractor. A lead abatement contractor is required in Ohio when the intention is to abate a hazard. If it is a renovation issue where you have chipping, cracking, peeling paint, then a lead-safe renovator can do that work. There's no requirement to have a lead abatement contractor to do that work.
So lead-safe renovators, if you want to correct me on this, they're licensed through the EPA. And don't all contractors now that work on a home that's built prior to 1978, don't they have to have the certification now?
That's federal law.
So all the people would have to just ask, can I see your EPA lead-safe renovator numbers or license? Is that all they would have to ask for?
That would be a good start, yes.
So if they don't have that, you would probably suggest that they wouldn't work on a house if they're dealing with some lead problems. Is that correct?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. So that's good to know, because I think a lot of people think that they have someone's going to come in here with like hazmat suits and sirens and blocking off the house or something when they're going to have to do this work. But it sounds like the assessor has to be licensed through the state of Ohio. The renovator that's going to be doing the work on it has to be licensed through the EPA as a lead-safe renovator. He's going to be charging the same amount of money, I would imagine, that he would do if he was just doing regular contract work on a newer home. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, there shouldn't be any change in price because a person has a certification.
So I you know, that takes a lot of the scariness away for me. I hope it does for all the people that are listening. What I'd like to sum up is I think that the only way we're going to stop poisoning our children and our society with lead-based paint is we're going to have to assess these homes that we're living in that are still older prior to 1978. And we see that voluntary programs are not working. That we have to have some type of mandatory assessments done on homes for rentals, child care, schools, and possibly transactions, so it kind of levels the playing field. What do you think about that, Jonathan?
I think that sums it up all in one statement.
Okay. I have a question I wanted to ask you, Jonathan, before we left. You've been working with lead hazards for a long time. Have you seen an improvement in just people's general awareness of the hazards over the last, 15, 20 years? And do you see a lot of potential for things like podcasts, for channels of information like YouTube to be opportunities for people to cut through the misinformation and really communicate clearly?
All right, let's talk about the last 20 years. Okay, last 20 years have been pretty productive. The lead poisoning levels in the United States have gone down significantly, even though the EPA and the Centers for Disease Control have lowered the criteria to define a poisoned child. Now, we have to also look at generations as they come through. When this program started in the 1970s with Richard Nixon, and it was carried over to George H.W. Bush, we were on an upswing of information. The federal government was doing a lot to put out information concerning lead and lead poisoning. Now, we're in another generation here where that generation has learned, but the next generation may not have learned this yet. And the way federal funding is going, it's unlikely that there will be a federal push to do that. Now, second portion of what you're saying, these podcasts and YouTube are critical because everybody goes to the internet to find information now. And it's a lot easier to get information rather than having a phone book and calling up somebody and saying, hey, do you know about this? You know, or relying solely on your local government to get that information. So yes, this is a very good thing.
It's good to hear.
Well, great. Well, thanks for coming in and explaining to us still the concerns that are still out there today on lead-based paint. And hopefully we can be the generation that actually stops this poisoning. So thanks for coming. Andrew, thanks for being here. And tune in for our next one. Thanks
a lot, Tony.